Welcome to Blog Talk
Radio.
I do that every day.
Hey, welcome to Blog Talk Radio with Mad Dads, the Minneapolis chapter of Mad Dads. We're so glad to have you on there. I am your host with my co-host, Mr. Gil Baggett. How you doing, Gil?
I'm doing great today, VJ. I'm doing very fine.
First of all, we want to let you know that your call-in number is 347-215-9262. That's 347-215-9262. That's the call-in number. We'd love to have you call in and chat with us because, you know, we got that kind of show where we can talk back and forth, and we'd love to talk to you, and we know that you got something to say. We know you got something to say. Mad Dads, it stands for Men Against Destruction, Defending Against Drugs, and Social Disorder. We have a support group that meets tonight, and we air the same day as our support group. We meet from 5 to 7. You come on out, man, and you'll be surprised at how you'll be blessed by being a part of the work that we do. I want you to know, and if you want to talk to us, the number is 612-822-0802. I want you to know I'm fresh back from Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States of America, under the leadership, guidance, and the direction of President Barack Obama.
Barack Obama.
And I feel pretty good about that. Matter of fact, people travel across the country to join the Congressional Black Caucus. It's called the CBC Foundation's 41st Annual Legislative Conference. And the theme this year was I Lead, I Serve. And check this out. I will tell you one thing for sure, that the dialogue and the advocacy and the great assets of the Congressional Black Caucus are beyond imagination. And they've been doing this for more than 25 years. They have worked tirelessly to inform and empower African Americans and indeed our entire nation on its noble mission and extensive public health, economic, scholarship initiatives. And they have greatly improved the lives of socioeconomic conditions of many underserved communities. And I believe that this is a great opportunity for individuals such as myself to learn about what's going on with politics and to learn about what we need to do in our community. One of the things that I learned, I'm going to share this with you, is that we seriously have a literacy problem and that 3 of 4 people on welfare are illiterate. Did you know that, Gil?
Sorry, yeah.
And why do you think that is, Gil?
Because, you know, like, VJ, our forefathers, I'm talking about our mothers' fathers, you know, they died for the right for us to lay up here and learn, you know. They died to be able to read a book, to lay up here and read the directional sign and stuff like that. You know, Chris Rock comes up with a parable on that, on that comedy thing he had about when this slave man was going down the road and he was reading and he looked on the thing that said stop. And he knew that driving that buggy was going to bring about a collision and cause an accident, maybe some fatalities and stuff. He said, but he couldn't stop the buggy because he was in fear that the man, the white man, would know that he could read.
Mm.
So today, our youth, they don't take education seriously. They don't understand the importance of education, and it's sad.
They say that 21 million Americans can't read, Gil.
Yeah.
21 million. They also say, Gil, and our listeners, that in Arizona, they indicate how many prisons they need to build by the test scores that they give their fourth graders.
Hey, that's why my baby, I got a 3-year-old on my knee right now, and by the time he's 5 years old, you're gonna be able to read, ain't that right, man? Huh?
Yeah, he's gonna be able to read because you're gonna make sure that that's gonna happen.
I'm gonna make sure that happens.
They say that 1/5 of the high school graduates cannot read their diplomas.
That's right.
How can you go to high school, Gil, and not be able to read your diploma when you graduate?
Because, VJ, look at our schools. We talked to a teacher yesterday that wanted to lay up here and be a volunteer. You know, she wanted to be a mentor, you know, for some kids, and she wanted to volunteer for Mad Dad. And, you know, she said that her class, she said she had 34 students in her class. And she says that out of the 34 students in her class, that she can only give individual attention to 12. So she has to pick amongst those 12 that she has in order to get her her attention because those are her prize students. Those are the ones that she knows that she can put some investment in, and that investment is going to have a return.
We're talking. You're talking with Mad Dads on Blog Talk Radio. Gil, we're also talking about the Congressional Black Caucus and how we've been able to empower individuals by going out to D.C. and learning a lot of things. I'm going to go right to a caller. Looks like we got two. I'm going to go to the caller with the number 2916. Caller, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Your caller, your last numbers are 2917. I'm sorry. 2917, are you there? You're live on Blog Talk Radio. What we're going to do is we're going to put them back on hold. But I just want to talk a little bit more about. Thank you for calling, caller. We got two callers on the line, and our number to call in is 347-215-9262. We want to get your views and points about what we're talking about. 21 million Americans cannot read. That is a problem. 1/5 of high school graduates can't read their diplomas. And what we also found out is that if you don't learn how to do technology, math, or engineering, that you're not going to be one of the big money makers and shakers in our community. Math, technology, and engineering are the three things that you've got to know how to do to make money in America.
Yep, I mean, we're in the future in America, you know, because, like, if you're going to live here and go off into those high-paying jobs, where you're going to live to have some hand-on experience in order to be a mover and a shaker, you're going to have those skills. And today, I'm just so proud to say that, you know, that my little man, I'm going to encourage him in every way I possibly can to motivate him to want to live here and do something. Because that's our problem with our children there. They're not motivated. They don't have ideas. We talk to these kids on the buses every day. I'm talking about these what they call the charter school kids that be riding the 5 and the 14. And these kids, you know what I'm saying, they have no aspirations of the past the age of 25. You know, what are you going to be doing, you know, and when you're 25 years old? He said, man, I'm stepping it off one day at a time. And that's just so sad, man.
It absolutely is, because you know what, Gil, we are in a state of crisis right now like never before.
Like never before.
All around the country, young people, 12 to 16, are losing their lives because of the inner city is being devastated by guns and gun violence. And so we are in a lot of trouble, and I think it's important to understand that the guns just don't land in our community.
That's right.
That these and they're not just guns. These are AK-47s.
That's right.
A lot stuff of like that. I was just watching on TV where the cats was packing their 45, 357 magnums, and the brother said, "Hey man, I'll be back because when I come back, all y'all gonna." They's like, "Please, Negro, please." He came back with him and his boy had two AK-47s and just sprayed the whole thing. And they all laid on the ground, man. See, it's a new day now. And our kids are getting those kind of guns now. Where are they getting them from, Gil?
Well, you know, it's the powers that be. You know, I'm spiritually inclined. And the Bible tells us that we arouse not against flesh and blood, but principalities and wickedness in high places. And these places that's trying to lay up here and bring the minorities down in this country, you know, make us a slave type mentalities and a slave type people and stuff. You know, these are where these things are coming from. You know what I'm saying? Because like a lot of people think that the Ku Klux Klan is dead in this country. You know what I'm saying? That widespread racism is dead in this country, and it's not. Because man, this is a global attack, man, on poor class people. You know, people who envision them that's got and them that don't have, they're laying up here victimizing us. With all you got to do is just look at in the last 25 years where the United States has put its money at. And big government has put its money in prisons, pharmaceuticals, and weaponry.
Prisons, pharmaceuticals, and weaponry. That adds me back to something that, are you familiar with Mr. Congressman Bobby Rush?
Yes. Yes, that's one of my homeboys.
Congressman Bobby Rush I had the chance to be with him in Washington, D.C.
Former Black Panther.
They had a party. I didn't get invited, though. Mm-hmm. Chicago party. They had a Chicago party.
Okay.
I met Gator.
Oh, that's GD?
Yeah, I met Gator.
Yep.
He said he heard about me.
Mm.
So Gator took my phone number.
Okay.
He said he's gonna give me a call.
Okay.
Now, Bobby Rush said this: we've got more black men in prison today than slaves of the past.
That's the truth.
How did that happen, Gil?
How did it happen? Because if once you lay up here and you disenfranchise any group of people in this society, and you lay up here and you segregate those people from education, from health benefits, you know, and from jobs, what is it left for them to do? You know, then you lay up here and you glorify through the media, you glorify Scarface, you glorify what when we was coming up it was a Superfly, you know, and what the pimp, what was his name? Goldie, the Mac.
Right.
You know, all those things were highly emphasized to our children. You know what I'm saying? The easy way about going to get anything. And we know it's like my father. My father started off in his job career as a puckwood hauler. And then for those callers who don't understand what a puckwood hauler is, that was chopping down tree stumps, pulling tree stumps up, and bringing firewood back into the town to sell. You know, so when he came back up to the urban Chicago, first they went to Chicago. My uncle went to Chicago first. I mean, went to California first. And he was relatively successful. But he left and came to Chicago where he found success in the construction business.
Mm-hmm.
But he came to Chicago with a construction business with no education, just came up out the Army, and he used just the sweat of his brow to bring about the food and the clothing and the shelter for his family.
So he was a, what do you call a puckwood?
Puckwood hauler.
And what is that?
Puckwood haulers is like a lumberjack.
So he's a black lumberjack.
The black lumberjack, Paul Bundy.
So from all that situation, I don't know how many slaves we have in the past, but if we now one of the things they say in the Constitution is that everybody's free except for a prisoner. A prisoner loses his freedom and can be treated as a slave.
He is treated as a slave.
How much money can you make every day? What's the most money that you can make as a prisoner?
Well, in a prison, you make anywhere from $1.20 to $0.35 a day.
And what kind of job is that when you make $1.20 a day?
$1.20 a day, you're making some form of a manufacturing. Either they're doing a boots, clothing, textile, or boxes.
So you make a pair of boots all day long. You make hundreds and hundreds of pairs of boots, and you get $1.25 a day.
Yep, $1.25. And if you like, if you're a sewer, the ones that lay up here and sew the soles onto the bottom of the boots, you know, you might make $1.65.
$1.65 a day, and then you got the nerve to tell me, black man, that you won't work at Burger King, that you won't work at McDonald's.
Ain't that a shame?
But that matter of fact, you ain't cleaning nobody's toilet.
That's right.
I'm not cleaning nobody's toilet, man. I'm better than that. I'm a pimp.
That's right. I'm a gangster.
Yeah, I'm a all that.
That's right. I'm a tree seller.
Okay, so you all that, but you'll go to jail and work for 60, 35 cents a day?
And be proud.
What kind of job do you get for 35 cents a day, Gil?
You're mopping the floor on the gallery, you know what I'm saying? Washing the toilets and the showers out, you know, doing the day room windows.
Gil, how do you feel now? This title, I think, means what I think that you represent today. You are the hope and the dream for our youth for tomorrow. How does that resonate with you?
That resonates like to me, VJ. I got this 3-year-old boy sitting on my feet right now, you know, and this is my grandchild. And I never thought that I'd live here and have these type of experiences when I was in the penitentiary. You know, when I was in the penitentiary, I lived straight up off despair because that's what was there. I couldn't get outside the box. I had dreams and aspirations that I knew, hey, man, I got to change my life. So while I was in prison, I went to school. I did vocational training. I did things that was going to prepare me to lay up here and get back off into society, see, because I had an out date. We got these kids that's now just looking like, you know, they they say, well, hey, I'm not scared to go to the penitentiary. Well, you need to be scared to go to the penitentiary today, because now the penitentiary is taking the emphasis off education. You know, they don't feel that they need to educate you no anymore when you get in the penitentiary. Their whole thing is security. Lock you down, lay up here where you're not a threat to society or to any of his employees, the guards, anybody like that there and stuff. And if you desire to lay up here and get a trade, or you desire to go to school, anything past a GED, because they'll take you to a GED. But anything past a GED, you got to come up out of your own pocket for it.
Well, Gil, you're absolutely right. I got some other stuff to go back to you with. I'm going to the caller, 5270. Caller, you're 5270. Thanks for calling Blog Talk Radio with the Minneapolis chapter of Mad Dads. How you doing? 5270. 5270. Okay, we're gonna definitely come back and talk to you. You know, our call-in number once again for our listeners, 347-215-9262, 347-215-9262. A lot of times we have callers and they really just want to listen. They're not really interested in talking, and so we will just assume that that's what you want to do today. I'm shooting some stuff at Gil, because Gil, this is all stuff I learned in Washington D.C. I'm shooting it at him, and he's firing back. He's shooting rapid fires. Here's another one, Gil. You're just as guilty if you do nothing.
You're more than guilty if you don't do nothing. You know, like that, just like that man was downtown. They laid up, in Friendly, and the dudes came in there to rob those two defenseless ladies. You know, and he said that it was not in his genetics in order to just stand by and watch those two men just brutalize those women in the course of a robbery. So what he did, he stood up to the plate, even though he sustained serious physical harm to himself. He still stood up to those guys, and he defended that property. Both men were later caught and convicted of the crime. So, I mean, if you're going to live here in a community, you got, you know, as black people, our biggest thing, we see it on the bus every day. Everybody's got a complaint. People walk around with their lips hanging all the way down to their belt buckle. You know what I'm saying? Women walk around like, you know, like they're afraid to say hello to somebody or anything like this because they have all these personal problems. They say, well, hey, would you like to be a mentor? No, I got too many. I got six kids. I got four kids. I got one day and 9 minutes. You know, if you don't want to live here and be a help or a solution to a problem, that means you are part of the problem. The reason that the problem exists is because you don't want to stand up. And that's a shame in our community.
You know, and just speaking of that, you're absolutely right, Gil Baggett. Speaking of that, our Minneapolis Cares, you've been working hard to get mentors. And, you know, what is one of the biggest challenges that you had, Mr. Baggett, getting mentors out in the community?
Is that they all have this preconceived idea of what a mentor is. They think a mentor is someone that's going to be clean, that's clean cutting, that hasn't had no blemishes in his life, or, you know, they always find I don't have the time, or I've got my own children, I got my own problems, and, you know what I mean? Like, hey, have you ever thought about maybe, if you lay up here, you know what I'm saying, and just do something for somebody other than yourself, maybe that will alleviate some of the pressure that you have in your own personal life.
You're absolutely right. We got a caller that called in on your number is 5342. 5342. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
Great. You got a comment?
Yeah, I wanted to ask a question. I'm a European American that's been working with I've been working with a lot of black youth and people of color, youth specifically, for many years now. And I just want to ask, just real honestly, where the place of European Americans are in the struggle, basically, and whether instead of it being like, oh, they know what's up for us. I'm all about it coming from the community, and I just want to know where that place is of European Americans like me who are doing the work, but just me learning just as much as what I'm given to. So I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Okay, and you know, that's I appreciate you calling in, because what I want to say, so sir, is that you're part of the solution. You know, go back all the way back to slavery and the Underground Railroad. There was a bunch of white folks.
That's right.
That helped make that happen. It was a bunch of white folks. Now, here's where I have a little bit of a problem. We start programs and we get fat and we get rich off the backs of African American kids, but they really don't get much, and we get hundreds and $300,000-$400,000 of dollars, and they go into salaries and all that stuff. I have a problem with that, but when it sounds like you're passionate about what you're doing and your heart is really there, one of the things I want to ask you to do is grab some of those young brothers and try to get them to start teaching too. Grab one of those young brothers and help them to try to mentor. Grab a young brother under your wing. Let him take your place. When you get a little older, you'll have somebody slotted from the community that looks like them, that you've trained and you poured into. That's what I try to do, and that's what I want you to do. As long as you stay real like you are, I don't think you have to worry about it. Gil, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, hey, and I appreciate what you just said, too, man, said about that European connection, man. Because, see, our kids need to understand, you know, your relevancy in their lives, you know, because you're doing a good job, man. You know, regardless how unappreciated you might feel, man, once you live in, when you confront the negativity of the environment that you work in, you know, you got to understand, man, you need to, there's kids that behind the scenes that are watching what you do. You know what I'm saying? And what VJ was telling you about grabbing someone else of their heritage, so they can see how you the land being effectively worked with them and through them and all the land being helped them to achieve. See, that's the contribution and stuff that we need off of society today, that people who think just like you think, sir.
That's absolutely right. So we appreciate that. Anyone else willing to call in, please call in. Our number is 347-215-9262. Don't call the number you hear ringing now. That's the wrong phone. We can't answer that one right now. We're busy. 347-215-9262. Gil Baggett, here's my other statement. If you want to know about a school, they say check the bathroom and the gym. Why is that?
Because, you know, you have to check the bathroom. you check the bathroom to see how clean the bathroom is. You know, if they in the bathroom gambling, that means they're not in the schoolrooms learning. If they in the bathroom putting on their makeup, exchanging numbers on their iPhones and playing games and all that stuff, that means they're not learning in the classroom. If you go to the gym and you see that the kids are not athletically inclined, that the kids are not interested and are motivated off into their physical ed classes and stuff, that means the teachers are not engaging enough and within the student. We have a prime example of a beautiful African-American woman that works as a gym instructor in
Richard Green.
This woman, you know what I'm saying, she's enthusiastic, you know what I'm saying, she's up, she's charged, she's motivated. Every day she see her kids, she know these kids individually by name. She can tell you where these kids' class is at. Some of these kids' moms and how what the cars that these kids come in. When they come into her classroom, she refuses to let them be non-involved just to be hoovering over her class. Those are the type of kids and stuff teachers that we need off into our schools teaching our children. You know, but like I said but as far as that gym goes and stuff, you got groups are huddling over here, people end up here segregating themselves from the masses and things like this and stuff. Then you have a school of disarray.
Now, listen to this statement. That is great. Listen to this statement. And I know you got something to say about this. The cost of failure far exceeds the price of progress.
Hey, man, they spend $465 million on penitentiaries annually. I ain't got no more to say.
Wow. $465 million? And that's the failure that we have to deal with.
That's the failure.
And the penitentiary across the country. How long does it normally take a person that's in prison, Gil, to realize that, look, man, I done messed up? How long does it take a person to realize, you know, because I've seen people go to prison 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times and still not learn their lesson.
Because, like they say, when you learn to do better, when you learn better, you do better. You got a lot of people who get so stagnated that it's easy to go to prison and play cards, play chess, play dominoes, lift weights, you know, run around and get physically fit, because see, that's where your mentality at. You still stuck on stupid, thinking that when you get out, all you got to have is a physical presence for a woman to lay up here and desire you. You land up here, you know, you nothing but a male whore. You know, you think you're gonna lay up here and come out with no education, you know what I'm saying? No aspiration, no inspiration, no nothing. All you got is a body. And you think that these young girls and stuff, which sometimes is true, but sadly to say, sometimes it's true. But the majority of women that you come out to, they got children. You know what I'm saying? They got bills. You know what I'm saying? They got aspirations. They got desires and stuff. And saying, and they looking for someone that's gonna be able to live on a open mobility plan, and have these guys, man, saying running in and out of these, because you know VJ. Minnesota is the third-ranked state for recidivism.
Wow. Well, what do you think about this? Is there a possibility for us to still have the American dream?
Yes, it is.
Why do you say that?
VJ, I got to say that. I got to go to bed thinking like that, man. Because, see, I'm a mad dad. You know, I work in a nonprofit organization. That means that we don't get much money. You know what I'm saying? So something else got to motivate me to lay up here and do what I do. And that what motivates me, man, saying, is that my desire to see us achieve, man, to see one of us, man. You know, we had a thing that we talked to Magic Johnson down here at the Colin Powell Center.
Yes.
Last week. And Magic sat there and broke into tears because Magic say, man, here is an organization that's not trying, they're doing it. You know what I'm saying? They've got people and stuff, you know what I'm saying? They're thinking about more than money, more than the American dream, the profit line. They're not thinking of profit line. The profit line is our children. We got to be able to understand, man, saying, hey, God done laid up here and provided with us. So I'm 57 years old, you know? So God has put me to 57 years, man, saying, on this planet now. Now it's time for me to give back. And all to give back is to our children.
Now, the theme, to be young, gifted, and black. Now, remember this morning I said I'm talking about the Black Caucus and
yes.
I'll be sharing about that. And you said, well, that leaves me out. I don't think I left you out, brother.
No, I like this.
Yeah, so yes. that theme, to be young, gifted, and black, why don't we hear that anymore?
Because BJ, you know, big business and later peers just done robbed us of our children's their ideas, man. You know, you look how much in a box our children minds in. Every child you think you see now, they think, man, saying they're gonna be a rap star, they're gonna be some type of bebop star. You know, don't none of them want to lay up here, man, saying to put no sweat on their brows when it comes to lay up here achieving any form of occupation that makes them lay up here, man, and get their hands dirty. And
okay.
we know we ain't gonna have a nation full of no doctors, lawyers, and legislators.
Okay, straight up, I believe that. And one of the things is, I got a caller here. I'm getting ready to go to the caller. Your number is 8862. Caller, you on the line? How you doing? Thanks for calling Blog Talk Radio with Mad Dads from Minneapolis. We got a caller. Your number is 8862. Okay, what we're gonna do is put you back on hold. Because we want to make sure. Now, what I want to talk about, Gil, is that how do we make sure we keep our promise to our youth? Our youth are expecting us to uphold their promises to have a better and brighter future for them. Now, here's what I hear. Your zip code dictates whether you live or not.
Yeah, because, like, you look at the demographics, man, of the ghettos in the van. In the van, you know, and the zip code tells you the level of prosperity, you know what I'm saying, and business opportunities and jobs in that area. So yeah, our kids are being victimized by our zip codes.
So if you live in the 55408551141, those zip codes where there's a lot of crime, a lot of violence, a lot of homicides. Your percentage of your kids making it are reduced.
That's right.
Yep. But if you move out to Edina with you and your baby and don't bring your homies to the house, your percentage increases by 100%.
And your insurance goes down.
What role does hip-hop play in all of this?
Hip hop plays VJ. That's one of the man. One, hey, I 12 years ago. Remember when that lady was going at Tupac?
Yep, I remember that.
You know, and she said this was gonna happen. She predicted this.
She predicted that hip hop was gonna do this.
She predicted that, you know, that everybody said it was, you know, that hip hop was just a form of a speech that everybody had the right to lay up here and say what they wanted to say. You know what I'm saying? Irregardless of how it hurt, how it affected negatively the way it affected our communities and our children. Now here we are, a generation apart from hip hop. Hip hop is later period, no longer is known on hip hop. It's called rap because hip hop was instructional. You know what I'm saying? Hip hop was a fun time at when it first came out.
Right.
Now it became a thing of savagery. It became a thing of murder. It became a thing of a conscious level of just social rebellion. You know,
one of the things we talked about in Washington D.C. was declaring war on the war on drugs. We had a U.S. Marshal, African-American brother, that asked the question, why don't we go in the white neighborhood and get some of them drug dealers? And his boss told him, Calvin, can you just do what you told?
Okay.
He said, well, I'm a leader, and I believe we got some white drug dealers too. He said, but that's not what we're targeting right now. He said, is that next month? He said, no. He said, is that next year? He said, no. He said, well, why don't we ever? He says, every time I jump in the SWAT truck and I gear up, I'm always breaking down people's doors that look like me. What's wrong with the war on drugs?
The war on drugs is that the war on drugs is premeditated. It's premeditated to lay up here and perpetuate the careers of ex-military generals, ex-military paraphernalia people and all the other stuff. What they call them? Paramilitary people,
uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? All those people that not old Kroger C's, Landerville, killing, destroying other people in foreign lands and stuff. Now they come home and they got to lay up here and use some of that, get all they that spent all that money training them people. Now they lay up here and got to lay up here and use that training. And what they do is they train them in the urban areas of our nation.
The consequences and the economic costs of incarceration on the African-American families and communities are very high. I've got a question for you, Gil Baggett, and my callers on the phone line, which I will get to in a minute. Why did they get rid of the education and the trade schools in our prisons, and why haven't we fought hard to bring them back, and why is it that we continue to allow people to come out of our prisons with no more education than they went in?
Because, you know, we're one of the out of the top 10. We're one of the top 10 states of recidivism, where guys are getting out and going back in. The reason that the emphasis from education in our communities, I mean, in the penitentiaries, has wandered, is because people have laid up here and said, well, hey man, here it is. I'd rather go to the penitentiary. Why I can get at it? At one time, you can go get to the penitentiary and get you a master's degree. You can get a PhD because you had all that time in which to lay up here and just dedicate yourself to studying. But what it took, when you educate a person, you also open that person's mind up. And give them power.
And they didn't want us to have power.
They didn't want no power.
They didn't want no prisoners coming out of jail with power.
That's right.
Let me just go right to one of our callers here, 8862. Thank you for calling in, sir. Ma'am, how you doing? Number 8862. Those are your last four numbers. Okay, I resume you desire not to talk. We're going to go right back to, so here's another thing. All these things are things that I learned in the Black Caucus, and you didn't even go to D.C., and you're answering all the questions. Now, I think that's a wonderful thing, but here's another thing. The women pulled themselves together in Washington, D.C., and said, we're in charge of health care. We're the leaders of health care. And they said that because who takes the men to the hospital? They don't never want to go. Who is it that takes the men to the hospital, Brother Baggett?
Well, hey, but I got to agree with him on that one because, like, you know, you a witness. I was diagnosed with diabetes after I had laid up here and almost had a stroke. And I wouldn't listen to my wife. I wouldn't listen to my friends. I wouldn't listen to a lot of ladies and stuff and saying that was in the Mad Dads and was telling me and stuff, hey, Gil, you have similarities that reminds me of my father. He was going through this, and I was hard-headed, and it took me off me falling out, you know what I'm saying, inside the emergency truck, the Mad Dad truck, to get me to the hospital. So I understand what they're talking about.
So the women are have a movement now to move our men. And sisters, thank you. And women, thank you.
Thank you.
For getting us to the hospitals, getting us to the clinics. And we count on you because we're so busy trying to do what we do. Sometimes we forget about our own bodies and to take care of ourselves. I'm eating some Simply Fit crackers that are 100% harvest grain because fiber is what cleans out your body.
And they don't taste good.
And, you know, you learn to love them, and, you know, it's like you learn to love a lemon.
Yeah.
If you keep sucking on it,
yeah.
you can learn to love things. Our health is important. Our wellness is important. And we have to start using prevention to make ourselves and keep ourselves healthy, along with HIV. Do you know the highest rate of HIV, people getting HIV now, are senior citizens?
Yeah.
Do you know why that is?
Because they don't use protection.
Well, they use Viagra, though.
They use Viagra.
What's that women's thing? Versalis? Yeah. So they're using all the stuff that they shouldn't be using to empower them to have, we can leave it down there, to have more sex. And so we need to warn you, seniors, wrap that thing up. I know it's old, but wrap that thing up and be protected because the numbers of our seniors that are contracting HIV, and they're so embarrassed, Gil, that they got it, they don't want to go to the doctor.
Yeah, I see it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and seniors, if we got any senior that's out there listening to us, man, you know, one, we want to say this, we love you, and there's nothing that you can do about that. But, you know, you got to get off, you know, y'all got to get up off those high horses that y'all got. You know, y'all got to get up off those angry pity pot parties that y'all throw y'allself. Y'all got to become active again in these communities. You know, y'all got to lay up here and get up out of those social centers and stuff, you know what I'm saying, and get up out of those senior citizen lounges and stuff and come out and let people see you, let people love on you, let these babies, you know what I'm saying, know that they got grandmamas and granddaddies and stuff, you know what I'm saying, that's got knowledge, wisdom, and understanding to pass on to them. You know what I'm saying? It's wrong for y'all to live here and don't want to be a part of these children's lives and the redevelopment of this country. Y'all the one that made this country. You know?
That's right. You made this country. You're listening to Blog Talk Radio with Minneapolis Mad Dad. Remember, our support group is tonight. We've got a 3-year-old in the back, so don't mind that. He's just doing what he do. That's what 3-year-olds do. They talk when you're talking because they don't know when to stop. And, you know, so when Gil brings a 3-year-old, I just have to say that's part of the show today. Our call-in number, once again, is 347-215-9262. It tells you to prompt us if you want to talk or not. We're going to attempt to talk to the person with the number 5270 before we leave there to see if they want to talk to us. That number is, wait a minute, just hold on. I haven't got to you yet. I'm trying to get my little browser here to move around. In the meantime, tell them about our support group, Gil. When is that and what do we do?
It's every Tuesday night, which is tonight. And it's from 5 to 7. You know, it's at 3023 4th Avenue South.
He knocked this out.
So what we need to do.
You got to plug this.
We're having technical difficulties.
It's our mouse got unplugged by a 3-year-old. So callers, just hold on, and we're going to get back with you. But, yeah, we meet from 5 to 7. Come on in and meet with us, and we're glad to have you. This is my mouse right here. Can you see it? I'm pulling on it.
What are you putting on?
Right here. So we meet at 3023 4th Avenue South. That's 3023 4th Avenue South. We'd love to have you there. From 5 to 7, we serve a meal. We do a lot of great things. Oh, you unplugged everything, man. So what I want you to know, we're still on the phone. If we lost our callers, just hang on. We're still going to talk to you. Gil, the question I got to ask you now, Gil, let's set this down flat because that's the problem. Set it down flat. A question I got to ask you, Gil, you've been in prison. Why do you think that our black legislators and congressmen haven't fought for the rights? Bobby Rush is a part of that, and a lot of great folks are a part of this. But why haven't they fought for the rights of us to come out of prison with education like we used to?
Because it's hard to lay a pen and put a fight, put up an intellectual defense for people who are laying up here victimizing their own people. It's hard to lay up here and put up a fight for people who are victimizing their own families. You know? It's hard to put up a fight against for people who are victimizing and taking the miles off the food out of the mouths of their children. You know? Bobby was a Black Panther. So he fought for the individual dignities that was guaranteed to us by the Constitution of the United States of America, you know, and those constitutional rights that he fought for, he was also fighting for the rights of dignity to be amongst black men in the community. But when black men took that dignity that they fought for so hard to obtain, and they took that and they just lay up here and they squandered those things, you know what I'm saying, for materialistical gains, for ideological gains and stuff like this here and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Where everybody became a gangster. Everybody became a hard sell. I think that we did more to lay up here and increase the power of the left wing that was deciding that, hey, once we get them in there, let's keep them in there.
So our babies now believe that they have no choice really to live. Our babies right now believe that some of their daddies in prison, they want to follow their lead and be like them. What's it going to take for us to save them?
What's it going to take for us to save them, VJ? We got to lay up here and we got to stop being selfish. We got to lay up here and stop thinking individually. We got to start thinking collectively. We got to think about the common good that's going to lay up here and bring about the most benefits and the most advancement to our people.
Okay, so we got to bring the most advancement to our people, and our people right now, they don't even love each other, man. We got folks that we've been trying to work with, man. They you know, if we don't give them everything they want, they get upset. They get mad.
Yeah, but, we're dealing with a people that's been up under siege. I'm talking about chemical dependency, you know. We still dealing with the refuge of that stuff, man. You know, the aftermath of the crack cocaine epidemic. We're still up under that. You know what I'm saying? We have babies. You have young girls, 16, 15, 14 years old, who are having children, you know, without the support of their mothers and their fathers. You know what I'm saying? These kids are the direct results of chemical dependency. Their mothers and their fathers were on this stuff. You know what I'm saying? So now they're having to lay up here and raise their children without the benefit of a big mama or a big daddy.
And one of the things that I believe that is important to us is that the fathers, and, you know, we talked a lot in D.C. about the effects of a father. What impact do you think the effects of a father will have in our community right now today?
If VJ, if we have, you know, that's one of the main strings of the Minneapolis Mad Dad, is that we push, man, saying the importance of fatherhood. We push the importance that when men stand up, boys sit down. And when these kids run around here like they don't have any form of social disciplines, social control, or anything like that, it's because they don't have the benefit of having an on-site father. The importance of a father in a child's life, girl or boy, you know, I mean, it's unspeakable. You know, we can sit up here and debate this all day, you know, that a father must be present in order for a healthy child to prosper.
So fathers, we just want you to know, man, I hear that a decent father will raise decent kids. A great father will raise great kids, and an excellent father will raise excellent kids. This is what I'm hearing, and so I think it's important for us to know that being a father is critical and valuable. I want to thank you for calling in. Thank you for being a part of the show. God bless you. I think we're done.
Yes, you are. Oh, two.
Thank you, sisters. Recording loves you.